Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, Denver, thank you for that. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My tongue is twisted again. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago, state of Illinois. And folks, we had a two-day march around the world by women, men, children, everybody. They called it the Women's March. And that's fine with me, but it was inclusive of everyone. And it was beautiful. It was great. I was really proud of my country for getting out there and standing up and being a part of it and not taking it anymore and showing this government that we are the people, we have the power. They're talking about Trump takes power. Hell, it's people who has the power. Like Michael Moore said, it's just a few of them in Washington, but it's millions and millions and trillions of us out here on the street. We could ram that White House. I mean, I am so proud of Americans. We did it. I mean, we cannot stop doing it. We have to let these people know, these Republicans, Donald Trump and his lying Republicans, these people do lie. They lie through their teeth. They lie to try to make us believe it. And when they lie and try to make you believe something, it's a con. It's a straight up con, folks. We got a con man in the White House. There is no doubt about that. This is what he does. This is how he became the billionaire that he is. No doubt about it, whether you love him or you hate him. And I'll still say he's president of the United States. Give him a chance. He's president. He's been voted in. But there is so much criticism going on about this man. And it's warranted, actually. And it is. I mean, all of us heard about the lies over the weekend on the Sunday shows. Kellyanne Conway. I mean, she's calling Sean Dicer or Spicer. He lied about. I mean, what is all of this about a crowd size? So what? You had a small crowd size. Get on with running the government. Get on with running America. You had think about the policy, the issues that's going on in the world. The hell with how many people were at your inauguration. There weren't many. It's proven that there weren't, but that's not policy. You're the president. Get on with it. Deal with it. You know, and get on with it. Maybe next time when you run again, the crowds will be bigger. But these people are so obsessed with numbers, head numbers from the crowd. It's pathetic. It's childish. Donald Trump sometimes acts like a spoiled child. And there's no doubt about it. He showed that during the campaign. But we, like, I want to say it again. I think the marches, the protests, the protest around the country were just so exhilarating. It was great to see. It was beautiful. And I'm going to tell you people right now, thanks for all of that. I don't know if you listen to my show because I've been saying it for years now to get out there and do something, to make something happen, to be about something. If you don't like what's going on in the world, get out there and do something. Don't just sit back on your ass and let other people fight your battles for you. Fight your battles yourself. We were fighting all for the last 2 days out here in all these protests. That was beautiful. That was great. You got people right now on these talk shows on cable television, Fox News, criticizing the marches, criticizing the women. Even Donald Trump criticized them. He said, well, why didn't all these people vote? They did. They did vote. We all voted. It's just that the Russians gave you a heads up. They helped you out. The electoral vote helped you out. If this election was dependent on the popular vote, Hillary would be in office right now. She had a landslide of popular vote, of the popular vote over Donald Trump. But somehow Donald Trump somehow swindled a lot of these states with the most electoral states. I mean, with the electoral votes. This is how he got over. This is how he got over. You can almost say it's another 2000, where Florida helped George Bush to the 2000 election. But anyway, the marches were just beautiful. And you may disagree with me. That's up to you. I mean, you know, that's up to you. You can turn it off if you don't like it. But anyway, it was beautiful. It was wonderful to see it. And I was just so enthralled. And some of the speakers were just mesmerizing. I think the best speaker that I actually loved was Ashley Judd. I mean, she was just amazing. I mean, she's an actress, folks. She's been acting for years. And a lot of you, I'm pretty sure you know her. If you don't, then you know that she's an actress. She's a part of the Hollywood elite. Okay. As we all know, Hollywood is liberal. Okay. But she gave a speech at one of these rallies, I believe was it New York, I believe. And rallies were all around the world, folks, in every city, every town. They were everywhere. And some of the rallies, some of these protests are still going. They're a lot smaller, but they're still going on as I speak. But they're a lot smaller. And I want to say that she actually did a great job. If she was going to get an Oscar or some sort of a award for this, this would be her best performance of all time. I have a clip of her. We're going to do that. It's going to last. I'm going to play the clip in its entirety in a few minutes. But she was just so electrifying. I mean, it was an Ashley Judd that I never saw. I've seen plenty of her movies. because she's acted two or three times with Morgan Freeman. So I've seen plenty of her movies, and she's acted with Robert De Niro. And Ashley Judd, Robert De Niro, Michael Moore. These are some of the exhilarating speakers that were there. Even Madonna, I think she was awful, but, you know, she was there saying awful things, and she had to apologize later or clarify what she was saying later because they were in her ass about something. But anyway, folks, thanks a lot. And if you saw all of this, I know you were just as mesmerized as I was, as anybody was, as the world was. I mean, we were really doing it to death. This was something, folks, and we have to keep this up. We can't, because Donald Trump is already, I think this is his third or fourth day in power, and he's already signing things into law using his pen. He has eliminated TPP, which was TPP, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a bad, bad trade deal that Obama signed into law. Trump has erased that from the books. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because I bitched about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I thought it was bad for jobs in America. And it was. It was. Elizabeth Warren, she wasn't for it. I mean, there's a lot of Democrats. They weren't for it. But Obama was trying to sell it. So he sold it. But he signed it into law executively. Against a lot of Democrats, the opposition of a lot of Democrats. I guess he didn't give a damn. We didn't like it, but but it's over now. It's over. That part of his legacy is over because Donald Trump is in the Oval Office now, and he's undoing everything Obama has done, especially if he done it with an executive authority without legislation. So he can just wipe it off the books. You know, so Obama's legacy is being destroyed. And I'm not saying that in a facetious way. I'm not joking about it. It's true. Donald Trump is undoing Obamacare. He's undoing everything that Obama has done. And Obama doesn't have a legacy now. I mean, Trump has just trumped it, you know. And let me go back to the marches. I mean, thank you. I mean, that was beautiful. That was wonderful. I was out there too. I don't know if anybody saw me or recognized me. It didn't matter. I was just in awe of all of this. You know, people out there fighting for what they believe in, fighting for what they don't want in their government. You know, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. And we have to do that. We have to get out there. We have to be a part of it. It's exciting. It's exhilarating when you're out there with so many other people fighting against injustice or the assholes in Washington. You're fighting against these people who are going to try and make life difficult, more difficult for you. That was wonderful. And I hope it just keeps going. Well, with Donald Trump and his liars in office, it will keep going. We will be probably marching every damn weekend on this guy and on his administration, you know, because they are trying to fool us. They're trying to manipulate us. They're trying to con us into believing anything that comes out of their lying mouth, you know. So we have to be aware. We have to be fully engaged in this administration, because not only did America march and protest against this administration, Donald Trump, but the world was marching. They was marching in France, Paris, you name it. 32 countries outside of the U.S. was marching, protesting the election of Donald Trump. Now, that's got to be something. That is no, I mean, Trump must have been, I mean, he must have been livid to think that all these people and in America and the world was against him, You know, the first thing comes out of his mouth, I guess somebody told him, well, why didn't these people vote? We did vote. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Amazon.com. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I can't say how much my heart felt good to see people out here standing up for what they believe in, fighting for their rights, fighting for justice, fighting to keep these people in power from taking everything away from them that has been gained over decades, if not centuries. And the Republicans are wanting to do that. And I want to say this again, I'm neither Republican or Democrat. I'm an independent. I'm looking at both sides. I criticize both sides when I think they need to be criticized. And if they're doing something that I admire, I will give them their props. I will give them their accolades. You know, but don't ever label me a Democrat. I mean, Democrats, I used to be. I'm not going to lie about that. But the Democrats are just too weak. They're just too weak-kneed and cowardly. I don't want to be a part of a party like that. And a lot of them, Democrats who are Democrats, you can't tell that they're Democrats or Republicans. You don't know nothing. You know, they're caving in right now to the Republicans on some of these Donald Trump appointments to a lot of these cabinet posts around the United States. A lot of these people that are Donald Trump has selected and they're confirming right now, they're unqualified for these posts. They're totally unqualified for these posts. You know, if you listen or watch the confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill, you'll see it. These people don't know what the hell. These are just hand. Donald Trump picked these people up from out of the toilet. They came from the sewer. You know, some of these people, because they don't know anything about what they're doing. Most of them are in bed with Russia. They're billionaires, millionaires. You know, and they have the money. They can buy their way into government. However, just because you have a lot of money doesn't give you the experience to run the Department of Education, doesn't give you the experience to run the Department of Veterans Affairs, you know. So this administration, you know, if it lasts, is going to be one for the history books. You're talking about Obama being for the history book. This administration is for the history books. All right, but you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a musical break. We will be right back, folks. All righty. Okay, here we go. And I want to say it again, folks. Thanks for participating in that great, great march over the weekend. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I totally appreciate it. And I just love all of you out there who took part and participated in this. That's something just had to be. It just had to be done. All right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I want to play this clip now, folks. And I hope you can hear it clearly. And hear it clearly, because she's on the ball here. You might have heard it. You might have seen it. You know, she's all over the internet talking about it. It's called Nasty Woman. And she's saying, I'm a nasty woman. She's getting down with it. She's getting down with it. And I hope you can hear it. If you have to turn up your volume on your radio, do so, because she is really, really, really into this. Okay, see, do we have it? I think it's number 10. Let's see. We're looking for it now, folks. Okay, here it is. Ashley Judd, actor. Ashley Judd on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
All right. Next on the to-do list. When we take over the DNC.
You have to turn up volume.
Ashley.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back. All the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter. This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty. Like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more?
All right, that was okay. All right. That is Ashley Judd, the actress, and she was on fire, folks, as you probably heard. I'm going to play more of that later on into the show, but she was on fire. She was like I'd never seen her before. I mean, she was just, if she could have won an Oscar for that performance. Anyway, that was Ashley Judd. We're going to have more of those kind of things coming up later into the show. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 6:27 straight up Chicago time, and it is beautiful, folks. I want to say one more time, thanks for those great marches that we had over the weekend. They were beautiful. They were wonderful. And I hope you don't give up and that you continue to fight for what you think is right. Okay, let's go to the phones. All righty, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Yes, my name is Virginia Phillips. I was scheduled to be on your show at 6:30.
I know. I clicked you in a little bit earlier. It's about 6:28.
That's good.
Go right ahead. That's great. You sound good. You sound good and loud. That's great. That's beautiful. Okay,
Thank you.
My audience a little bit of a little bit. About yourself and get right into what you are going to be talking about.
My name is Virginia Phillips and I own a company called Triumph After Trauma. And that company really began out of two reasons. One is my own story of overcoming trauma. But two, I spent a long time in human resources helping folks be better leaders, be better employees through mergers and acquisitions and all kinds of craziness that happens in the workplace.
So, oh, wow, that sounds great.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that sounds great and that sounds wonderful. And you're also an author, a speaker, and a coach, a life coach?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So I'm an author and a speaker and a coach. I've got a couple of books that I've contributed to that one is printed, one is in printing at this point. And I have a third book that is at the editor's at this point. And I have a fourth book that I'm currently working on. And all of them are regarding getting the life that you want and moving your life forward. Nothing like Ms. Judd was talking about on stage, though. I don't know how to compete with that. But I think a lot of folks struggle with moving their life forward. I think we kind of get caught into this rut, and we think that's where our life needs to stay. And it doesn't. Yeah. We can move it forward. So based upon my story and my history, lots of people have told me, you need to be on stage. You need to be telling your story. You need to be helping people move their lives forward. Mm-hmm. And that's really what has prompted a lot of my speaking and my writing is really the community I'm in pushing me that direction.
And I assume that a lot of your writings are based on some of your real life experiences.
Some of them, but most of them, it's really about my audience. My focus is on them. I don't want it to be on me. I don't.
What I mean is that a lot of us I know it's not about you, but if you're sharing some of your experiences about learning about life, learning how mistakes that you made in your life can only make you better. You'll tell yourself that there's other people out here who probably has gone through some of the same things. So you will probably put some of that, you would write about it in your book to try to help those who have gone through some of the things that you have gone through in your life. That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. So I'm taking those lessons that I've learned and sharing mm-hmm. those lessons yeah. that I've learned with other folks so that they can ideally apply those lessons in their life and move it forward instead of having to learn through the school of hard knocks, which is not always friendly mm-hmm. for folks to mm-hmm. do. So yeah. absolutely, my books are all about that. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. All right. Tell us about your latest book.
My latest book is called The Truth About Trauma, Your Roadmap mm-hmm. to Success. And that's the one that's mm-hmm. In editing as we speak. And it's 10 chapters on really finding that internal leadership within you and then utilizing that internal leadership to move your life forward. So like one of my
great.
Chapters is named Find the Power Where You Are. And I think that's what Ms. Judd was trying to say on stage is we all are powerful. I teach that every one of us brings a unique perspective and a unique DNA to the table, and we need that. If we all yeah. brought the same DNA yeah. and the same experience and the same point of view, it would be a very boring world, but B, I think we would all die because we need that versatility for us to thrive.
I agree. I agree. I don't think everybody could be one. You know, everybody's going to be a little different. It's just a way of the world.
It is. But we need it that way. We absolutely need it that way.
Yeah.
So one of the stories I tell so often is if we were all on a stranded island, and let's say we were all, you live in Chicago, we are all elite, I don't know, steel tradesmen, and we get to this remote island. Does any one of those elite steel tradesmen know how to fish? Do they know how to be scrappy to build a fire? Do they know any of that? They probably don't, but if you brought 10 or 15 unique individuals from the city of Chicago onto an island on their own, they would find a way to survive. They absolutely would. That's my firm belief.
Okay, great, beautiful. And you also are a speaker. I mean, where do you speak?
I speak currently mostly in Colorado, but we are working mm-hmm. on getting me on a plane and doing some speaking engagements around the United States, and that has not yet been released, but that will be coming soon. And I will be speaking probably a lot about this topic in terms of mostly individuals that are trying to start their own businesses, gaining that yep. internal leadership to be successful.
So you're more like a speaker in a motivational sense.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about tell us about the book that you have published already.
The book that I have published already
yeah.
is
yeah.
called Creating the Life You Want, Mindfulness and, oh gosh, why can't I even remember the title? Mindfulness and and Meditation. Notice it wasn't my choice for the last piece of it. I would have ended at mindfulness. And this book
yeah.
was created by a number of really wonderful authors from around the world giving mm-hmm. their expert advice for folks to move that life forward. And in my chapter in the book, I talk about developing this personal vision. You know, we are so good at teaching people when they open a business that they need to have this vision and mission statement. But when I get on stage and I get in my workshops and I ask people, what is your personal vision? What's your personal mission statement? I get this like blank stare.
Do you know why?
Because they don't have them.
Okay.
Do you have an idea? I'd love to learn what your idea is.
No, you're on the show. So where can we find your book? I mean, where is it available anywhere? Do you have a website or?
This book will be available on my website shortly at triumphaftertrauma.org. And they can go out and get this book. And the other book will be up for pre-sale soon here, as soon as it gets through the editor in the next couple of days, also on triumphaftertrauma.org.
Oh, sounds great. Sounds good. And one last question. What do you like about writing, and what would you say to people who are thinking about becoming an author?
So I was never one that was really eager to write books. There are so many people out there that have a book in their head and they don't put it down on paper because they're fearful of a number of things. So I would say, whether you're like me that wasn't thinking about writing a book, or you're somebody else that has a book in your head, get the book out and put it on paper. Too much of the lessons that you have in your head, the world needs to know because of your unique perspective. We need to learn the world from your eyes, and we can't do it if your information is still in your head. We need it in a book. Write it.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. And Virginia, is there anything else you would like to say that you haven't said already to my audience about?
I would.
Go ahead.
About what? Yes, sir. I would love to say to your audience, I love Chicago and I miss it and I can't wait to get back and see it. I've got siblings that live there and it's really a city that I love.
Okay, Virginia Phillips, thanks for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and all the best to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
No problem. All right, author, coach, speaker, Virginia Phillips on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back, folks. All right, they're talking about the worst movies of 20. No. This is 2017 Razzie Award nominations for the worst movies and the worst performers of 2016, the worst performers. Okay, and there was a lot of them. The worst performers. Okay. All righty. Razzie Awards for, let's see. Worst picture, Dirty Grandpa. Robert De Niro. I mean, he's a good actor, but I guess sometimes he just get the wrong kinds of material and he wind up in these bad movies. Worst picture, Batman and Superman. That is a glob of mess. It's a mess. Batman and Superman. Okay, worst picture of 2016. Batman versus Superman, The Dawn of Justice. Okay, worst picture, Gods of Egypt. Wow. Worst picture, Hillary's America. I didn't see that one, so I don't know. Worst picture, Independence Day, Resurgence. Okay. Worst picture, Zoolander. I never did like these kinds of movies. So, worst actor, Ben Affleck for Batman versus Superman, The Dawn of Justice. Worst actor, Gerard Butler. I'm sorry, folks. Gerard Butler for London Has Fallen. You know, I have that movie. It's not bad. I thought it was. I don't think it was as good as Olympus Has Fallen. Of course, London Has Fallen. It's okay. It's more about Gerard Butler than any the other characters. It's more about him. Whereas the first movie was character oriented, but this movie is not. It's about one single guy, Gerard Butler, which some people call this movie a takeoff on Die Hard, Bruce Willis, Die Hard, and things like that. But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good, but it wasn't as awful as these people say it is. I mean, you can be a critic of a movie. You may like a movie. The critics may not like that movie you like. So, you know, you can be your own critic. But it wasn't as good as Olympus Has Fallen. That's no doubt about it. And Gerard Butler, I think, is a good actor. He just, like so many other actors, he need better material to work with. You know, I mean, you get a good actor, bad material to work with, and what are you going to get? You're going to get a bad movie. Let's go to the next one. Worst actor, Robert De Niro in Dirty Grandpa. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't really talk about it. I'm just saying what these people have. Next, worst actor. Okay, next, worst actor, Ben Stiller, Zoolander 2. To me, I haven't seen the movie, but I know what it's about. It's about silliness, goofiness. You know, it's trying to be a comedy, but I believe it's more stupid than it would make you want to laugh. Worst actress, Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Didn't see it, but I have a feeling they're right. Worst actress, Tyler Perry, Madea. Boo, Madea Halloween. I just never taken to Tyler Perry and this Madea crap. I mean, I just thought it's just awful, but it has made him a millionaire. It has made him popular. He's produced and directed and written silly, stupid television shows. My son's crazy about them, you know. So I have never been a Tyler Perry fan. That's just me. That's the way that I am. You may call me silly, but that's the way it is. I've never been a Tyler Perry fan, and I don't think I ever will be. All right, next. Worst actress, Julia Roberts in Mother's Day. Maybe. I haven't seen it. Worst actress, Becky Turner as Hillary Clinton in Hillary's America. Probably. Worst actress, Naomi Watts for Divergent. Okay, worst actress. All right, worst supporting actor, Nicolas Cage for Snowden. Oh, Johnny Depp. I mean, he just really, I mean, they just pile on this guy. Worst supporting actor for Johnny Depp in Alice Through the Looking Glass. Worst supporting actor, Will Ferrell for Zoolander 2. Oh, yeah, this guy is totally bad. I mean, I have Superman versus Batman. I have that. Dawn of Justice. I have that right here in my library, in the studio. I have it. But this guy in the movie, his name is Jesse Eisenberg. He's also in Superman, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, the movie that came out last year. His name, and he plays, you. If you've seen the movie, then you know. He plays Lex Luthor. It was just on my mind, folks. He plays Lex Luthor in the movie. And folks, this guy is horrible. I mean, when I first saw the movie, I said, this guy, Jesse Eisenberg, playing Lex Luthor in this particular movie, Batman versus Superman, he's the most horrible, awful actor in the movie. I think he ruins the movie single-handedly, more so than Ben Affleck being a worse actor or anything of that sort. This guy, to me, I'm being a critic, ruins the movie. But we set through it because we felt that there was more to the movie beside this guy playing Lex Luthor. He was awful. He's bad. And I think if he saw the movie and if he saw his performance, he would know that he's awful. So he's terrible. All right. And he deserved that Razzie Award. All right. Next. Worst supporting actor. Suicide. Jared Leto for Suicide Squad. I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it. You know, it's another superhero movie. It looks a mess, so I don't want to deal with it. Worst supporting actor, Owen Wilson for Zoolander 2. Okay. Next, worst supporting actor, Julianne Hough for Dirty Grandpa. Another one of those characters in a movie with Robert De Niro. It's a Razzie. Worst supporting actress, Kate Hudson for Mother's Day. All these bad movies. Wow. Worst supporting actress, Jane Seymour for 50 Shades of Black. Wow. I mean, you can ruin your movie career with one awful movie. That's no doubt about that. Hollywood will not touch you again. And that's why a lot of actors wind up out of work. Next. Worst supporting actress, Kristen Wiig. She's from the lady from Saturday Night Live. She's not there anymore. She's former Saturday Night Live actress. She's gone into movies now, and a lot of her movies have been really, really bad, such as Ghostbusters. You know, Ghostbusters. Kristen Wiig. Okay. Oh, Batman versus Superman, the Dawn of Justice. I think this one takes the cake because I keep seeing it. Ben Affleck, worst screen combo. Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill. Okay, next. Worst screen combo. Gods of Egypt. Oh, worst screen combo, Johnny Depp, Allison looking through the looking glass. Wow. Worst screen combo, the entire cast once respected actors of Collateral Beauty. The actors of Collateral Beauty are Will Smith and what's her name? I can't think of it. Helen Mirren. Okay. So Will Smith, who tend to brag about that he looks so good and all of his movies are hits. This was a total flop. Collateral Beauty. Next, Madea. Wow. Worst screen combo. Next. Bill Stiller, Owen Williams. Next. Worst director. Denis Silvova on trial. Next. Worst director. Roland Emmerich for Independence Day. Worst director, Tyler Perry. Boo! A Mud Deer Halloween. Gods of Egypt. Worst director for Batman versus Superman. I'm seeing a lot of this negativity on Batman versus Superman, the Dawn of Justice. Okay, the worst director, Zack Snyder. Okay, next. I think the best thing that was the best thing in Batman versus Superman, the Dawn of Justice, I think the best thing in the movie was probably, and a lot of people will who saw the movie will probably agree with me, Wonder Woman. And she only had a small bit part, you know, but she stood out. That's why they're giving her own movie. So Wonder Woman was the best character from that movie, in my opinion. All right. Worst director, not best, but worst director for Zoolander, Ben Stiller. Yep. So that's it, folks. I mean, it's a lot more here, but we are running out of time. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of what they're saying in Hollywood about the worst in actors, the worst in the movies, the 2017 Razzie Awards nominations. I wonder who's going to get top. I think the movie that's going to get the top prize for the Razzies in 2017 is Batman versus Superman, the Dawn of Justice, because I just have that feeling. All right. Here we go. We'll be right back, folks.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. This is the Talk of Our Times. Let's talk, everybody. Broadcasting from Chicago. This is the Talk of Our Times. Let's talk, everybody.
All right. So here's a little bit more of Ashley Judd on the George Wilder Jr. Show. If you didn't get to hear it, here it is again.
All right.
Turn up your volume.
Next on the to-do list. When we take over the DNC.
Oh, Michael. My God.
Ashley.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back. All the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black, slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the bloodstain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact half my life. I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our walls are stronger than America's ever will be. Our pussies are for our pleasure. They are for birthing new generations of filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I love you. Thank you.
Ashley Judge, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, she was totally, totally on fire. I mean, if she makes a movie, I'm going to see it. No matter, even if it's one that might be up for a Razzie. I mean, she really knocked it out of the park over the weekend, and it was just so mesmerizing, and I was just so proud of her. And I would love to have her on the show if possible. We can try and get her on the show, you know, so she can really talk live, you know, talk like that. And I'm pretty sure she's going to get a lot of people asking her to be on their show. I'm pretty sure she's in big demand by now. The last time I saw her in a movie was one I just got through mentioning. Olympus Has Fallen. She's in that, but she's only in it for a little while. But she's other movies she's made, and she's she's a star. And I mean, but this was just awesome, folks. I mean, if you could have heard it, if you could have seen her on the stage, you can find this. You can find it if you want to hear her. You can find it. Find this on YouTube. You can just put in the a text bar Ashley Judge. Speech. I mean, and it'll come up. I mean, you'll see her walking around the stage. She's in white pants, and she's just as animated as she can be. I never saw her give such a great performance like the one she did Saturday, this past Saturday, from the date of this show. It was just great. It was great. It was wonderful. And I want to say again, I want to thank everybody who attended those marches all around the world. You did it. You've done it. You got these people on notice in Washington. That's beautiful. You got these politicians on notice all around the United States. They know what can happen if they screw up too fucking badly. And it's good. Donald Trump does not hold the power. The people of America holds the power. Congress is not the power. We are the power when we do things collectively. They cannot win if we stick together, unite for the cause that we believe in, and to throw their asses out because they look like they're breaking the Constitution, the laws of the Constitution already. Already. Anyway, thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. This show is always about making the world a better place. That's all it's about. If you ever have been deceived, you know how devastating it can be. Not only do you feel hurt, but your sense of trust is shaken. Never hold it inside. It can drive you crazy. Talk about it with someone you trust, and then, hey, just feel better. It's been beautiful, folks. It's just wonderful. I'm almost speechless at some of the stuff that had taken place this past weekend, and it was just so beautiful, so wonderful. And I'm just hoping people do not, you know, fall back on their laurels and not do anything in the coming weeks, coming days, coming months, whatever. And we have to hold their feet to the fire in Washington, or they will hold our feet to the fire, you know. So we're just gonna have to do this. All right, we'll be right back. We're gonna do this.
It was important for him to be briefed because the plan was to brief the president-elect as well, that these allegations had been circulating.
Pamela, hang on. We're gonna go to Chicago, listen to the Attorney General Loretta Lynch talking about the civil rights investigation into the Chicago Police Department.
Me, because they are the indispensable members of the team that led to this announcement today. Now, one of my highest priorities as Attorney General has been to ensure that every American enjoys police protection that is lawful, that is responsive, and transparent. But as the events of recent years in Ferguson, in Baltimore, Cleveland, and many other cities have made clear, far too many Americans feel that they do not receive that kind of law enforcement. And far too many communities suffer because of painful divisions between police officers and citizens. Divisions that make it significantly harder to reduce crime, to expand opportunity, and to ensure that every American, including our police officers, can be safe and secure in their neighborhoods. Now, in December of 2015, as part of that work, I announced that the Department of Justice, after careful review and extensive consultation with state and local officials and community leaders, was opening an investigation into whether the Chicago Police Department had engaged in a pattern or practice of violations of the Constitution or federal statutory law. And for the past 13 months, our investigators have worked tirelessly to obtain a full and an accurate and an impartial picture of policing in Chicago. They have conducted hundreds of interviews with citizens, with officials, with officers. They have reviewed thousands of pages of documents. They have observed Chicago Police Department officers on the job. And on the basis of this exhaustive review, the Department of Justice has concluded that there is reasonable cause to believe that the Chicago Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of use of excessive force in violation of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Our investigation found that this pattern of practice is in no small part the result of severely deficient training procedures and accountability systems. Now, as my colleagues will explain in greater detail, CPD does not give its officers the training they need to do their jobs safely, effectively, and lawfully. It fails to properly collect and analyze data, including data on misconduct complaints and training deficiencies, and it does not adequately review use of force incidents to determine whether force was appropriate or lawful, or whether the use of force could have been avoided altogether. All of these issues are compounded by poor supervision and oversight, leading to low officer morale and an erosion in officer accountability. These are serious problems, and they bear serious consequences for all Chicagoans. As I said when I announced this investigation, the systems and policies that fail ordinary citizens also fail the vast majority of Chicago Police Department officers who risk their lives every day to serve and protect the people of Chicago. And during the course of our investigation, the department heard from countless officers who were themselves disillusioned and discouraged by strained trust, by inadequate training, poor oversight, and inattention to officer wellness and safety. Now, those officers are proud to wear the badge, but they recognize that they lack the support, both from the community and from the city, to properly do their jobs. And they understand that repairing trust with the communities that they serve will require difficult and meaningful reforms. Now, to Chicago's credit, the city has not been standing still since we announced our investigation at the end of 2015. Under the leadership of Mayor Emanuel and Superintendent Johnson, Chicago Police Department has taken a number of encouraging steps to improve oversight and to encourage community-oriented policing. But our report makes clear that there is still considerable work to be done, work that will require federal partnership and independent oversight. And that is why I am pleased to announce today that the Department of Justice and the City of Chicago have agreed to begin negotiations on an independently monitored, court-enforceable consent decree. And in the days ahead, we will continue speaking to local residents, local authorities, to officers, to ordinary citizens, to gather their perspectives about the challenges facing this city and the changes needed to address them. Now, of course, this announcement comes at a critical juncture for this proud city. Chicago is grappling with a deeply troubling rise in violent crime, one that has already claimed far too many lives. Now, fighting violent crime has long been a priority for the Justice Department as well. And we at the Justice Department have brought our full resources to bear on this issue, from the FBI, ATF, U.S. Marshals Service, and the DEA, who've participated in joint task forces to combat.
All right. The Chicago Police Department has conducted a lot of raids around the city over the weekend, and they have locked up a lot of bad guys, and they're bragging about that. But I'm going to tell you here right now, the carnage is mounting in the city of Chicago for 2017. Shootings in Chicago are still going on. People are dying. And these people promised, when I say people, I'm talking about the Chicago Police Department and the mayor, promised that 2017 will not look like 2016. But apparently it's starting off that way. It's starting off that way. Shootings, 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 shootings. I mean, they can arrest as many bad guys as they want to. Yeah, get them off the street. Get them off the street. But still in all, people are getting killed. People are getting shot. People are dying out here in the street. You're arresting bad guys are like weeds. You arrest one, another one grows in its place. The police department has to find solutions and have plans to stop the carnage in the streets of Chicago. There is no doubt about that. I mean, you can talk about this all day, about how many guns you've gotten off the street, how many bad guys you've taken off the streets, how many raids you've done. But what about how many lives have you saved from being taken away? You take these bad guys off the street, more bad guys are gonna come along. There's no doubt about it. So the carnage is piling up. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a good thing getting the bad guys off the street. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you're screwing up out on the streets, if you're messing up, you're a criminal, you should be taken off the streets, period. But while those bad guys are being taken off the street, these other bad guys over here are busy shooting up the city. They have not been taken off the street yet. My point here is that the carnage, the shootings, the killings, the muggings, the crime is still building, and it's building dramatically throughout Chicago, regardless of how many bad guys they've taken off the street, regardless of how many guns they've taken off the street. Okay, let's say they take 50 guns off the street or 100 guns off the street. Of course, that means by those guns being taken off the street, there's no doubt about it, that means that somebody will not die from one of those guns because they're in the custody of the police. But there are still more guns out here. And if you want to talk about crime in general, most criminals don't even have a gun. They'll have a mace or something. They'll walk up behind you, spray mace in your face, and steal your property, your cell phone, your purse, your money, whatever. And, they'll get you while you're on the train or something, on the L trains, CTA platform, standing up there late at night or something like that. So crime has, crime has gone down any. I really don't. Even with these bad guys being taken off the street and the guns that are confiscated, I can't say that crime is down, because as I sit here now on the radio talking to you, somebody's getting shot. Somebody's pulling a trigger on a gun somewhere. Somebody's dying somewhere. You know, so great you got these guys off the street. Great you did these raids. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But come this weekend, we're going to get 40 to 50 more shootings. You have got to come up with some kind of plan, solutions to stopping the shootings before they start. You gotta have a plan. And we, obviously, these people, the police superintendent, the mayor, they have no plan, because if they did have a plan, they would tell us. They would be all over the goddamn news saying, we're gonna do this, we're gonna keep you alive, this is what we have, this is what we're gonna do. They have no plan. If they have a plan, they keep it in secret. They keep it secret for one reason, because if it fails, they don't want it to come back and bite them in the ass. So therefore, they have no plan. They have no plan until the plan works. Now, if they have something going and it works, then it's a great plan. But just like I have just said, they have a plan, but they won't tell us. If they do have a plan, they will not tell us, because if the plan doesn't work, they will not, you know, mention it at all. But if the plan works, if it works, they're going to talk about it until the cows come home. Just like this raid. I mean, the raid worked. I mean, because they arrested some bad guys. The confiscation of guns worked because they got the guns off the street. So they're going to talk about that. But whatever doesn't work, they're not going to talk about it. Like stopping the killing. Like I said before, folks, I'm all for taking guns off the street. I'm all for locking up the bad guys. I'm all for raiding these guys on the south and west sides of the city who are doing wrong. But it seems as if the raids and the taking of the guns off the streets does nothing to lower Chicago's murder rate. If anything, it goes up. And because of that, we need concrete solutions to solving this. We need something to say, we need someone to say, hey, well, I got a plan. It's going to work. Don't be afraid to tell Chicagoans your plan. If it fails, it fails. But at least you have a plan. At least you told us about a plan to try to keep us alive out here on these streets of Chicago. You know, so I don't know, folks. It's just that I'm here on the radio and I'm trying to make the world a better place. I'm trying to make Chicago a better place. And I think we're going to get there, even with the Trump presidency. I think we're going to get there. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to do Brian Gumbel right here.
My
for about
son
a second.
Has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
The state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, we still do not have a budget, folks, a full year budget, a 1 year budget. And it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years since this guy has been in office, the governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois. And we still do not have a state budget that's required by the Illinois Constitution. This shows you that Republicans care nothing about the Constitution. They use the Constitution as toilet paper. They care nothing about it. I mean, I've said on this show for many months and probably over a year that if we don't have a state budget and the Constitution requires a state budget and we haven't had one for 2 years, the governor is breaking the law. He's breaking constitutional law. To me, that's corruption. You're not following the law. And somehow the weak-kneed Democrats aren't doing anything about it. Democrats have always been weak-kneed. They have caved in, gave in, give up. Republicans pound them over the head, bitch at them, and they just bully them, and they just give right on in. That's one of the reasons why I'm not a Democrat, because I don't believe in caving in to bullies, okay? The Democrats have done that. Anyway, let me get back. We do not have a state budget in the state of Illinois, and that's just bad. That's horrible. We don't have a state budget because this governor, who's a Republican governor, wants to bust unions, and the Democrats in the House and the Senate say, no, we're not going to let you bust unions. So therefore, we don't have a budget because the governor is saying, well, if you let me take over unions and get these unions, I will sign a budget into law. And the Democrats are saying, no, busting unions and dealing with collective bargaining has nothing to do with the budget. Let's get a budget first, and then we'll talk about your turnaround agenda. I don't believe he calls it that anymore. But anyway, that's what it is. It's turnaround agenda, but, you know, and that's where we are. That's where we are. And we do not have, for 2 years, Illinois has not had a budget. And the people of Illinois know who to blame. We blame Governor Rauner. Governor Rauner is blaming Michael Madigan and the Democrats in the legislature. But we know who to blame. If Pat Quinn had been reelected, we would not be here without a budget. That's why we know it's Bruce Rauner's fault. This would not have been if Pat Quinn had been reelected. Obama campaigned for Pat Quinn. Hillary Clinton campaigned for Pat Quinn, and he still lost to this guy. Why did he lose? Because people didn't vote. Secondly, Rauner bought the election. He put his money in. Come to think of it, folks, I've heard that he's put $150 million. I'm not sure, but I heard somewhere where he put $150 million into his reelection campaign for 2018. Money is not going to get it. If he did that or if he did not do that, money is not the answer. People get fed up. People get pissed off. They don't get out here and vote in droves and send this guy back to wherever he came from. That's what we have to do. Anytime you have a state and the third largest city in the United States without a budget for 2 years, you know that the guy in the governor's office should be thrown out on his ass. There's no doubt about it. You got these rich Republicans. Why would you want to, if you're a billionaire, why would you want to run for governor? There's no money in it. Well, we want control. Handle things, be control of things. You know, that's what I think. I think they want control. They want power. So they buy the office, you know, so they can have power over people and misuse this and misuse that. And, you know, anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're just about off the air. We got about 3 more minutes into the show. Let's see if we can find and do this. It's been fun, folks. I enjoyed it on the show today. And I want to thank my guest, Virginia Phillips. She was great, as always. And let's do this.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns.
Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being a part of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. I love you. I hope you guys join me tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody. All I did was just take it off. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Copy it.